This program is intended for a print-impaired audience and is brought to you by Mind's Eye.
Love You Always by Amanda Stocksdill. Esther and Leah's journal continues. September 11. Dear Esther, well, autumn has arrived. The leaves are still very colorful, and the harvest is busy as usual. Martha and Louisa are more cheerful now. On Saturday, they walked with us to town. "Just to look," they said. "There is not much to buy, but we can still imagine what we'd like to have when this is all over. New shoes, handbags, and jewelry are just a few things most girls want." That day, we were walking past a clothing shop when Martha spoke. "I wish I could dress like the actress in that film," she gushed. "She was beautiful. Remember, Louisa?" We stepped around a puddle left by that morning's rain. Martha bumped me, but my shoes slipped into it. "Yes, I remember. The man was scary, but the lady was amazing," Louisa said. "What was her name?" I asked. We moved aside to let a wagon drive past. The horses' coats were damp with sweat, and they seemed tired. "A foreign one," Martha sniffed. "She had some sort of accent." "Will your mum let me copy that dress from my magazine?" Louisa begged. "Could you please ask?" She looked at Jane with pleading eyes. Jane promised she'd try. "How is the man scary?" I was curious now.
"He becomes two different people, nice by day, mad by night."
"Mad?" I was puzzled. "Like angry?"
"No, stupid," Louisa sneered. "Crazy."
She tapped her head. "Not helpful," I thought. Sarah cut in.
"He isn't himself, kind of like Mr. Evans."
That's a little better. Still, I wondered again how English words could sound similar but mean something different when used. When Sarah asked where they'd seen that film, Louisa winked at Martha and replied,
"We don't always do everything with you."
"So how was your walk?" Dad asked at dinner.
"Mom, Louisa wants to copy a dress from her magazine." Jane's eyes sparkled. "Please let her."
Mom laughed.
"Of course, love."
Turning to Louisa, she continued,
"You work here. You may use my machine. You have to buy the material yourself, though," she added.
"Thank you, miss." Louisa grinned at Jane and Sarah. Only Dad noticed my half-empty plate, giving Mom a disgusted, "Not again," look. "I don't blame you for leaving." I also left the room. Mother Anderson couldn't have known what that speech would be about. At least William and Julia
seemed sympathetic. The Soviet-German battle continues, with the Germans heading toward Kiev. More cities continue to fall. There's something important you need to know. Mama packed sanitary towels in our cases. Since you're 12, you will probably start bleeding every month. They're rectangle pads made of cotton. You clip the two ends to a belt underneath your clothes. That should prevent blood from ruining your undergarments. You still have to be careful, though, because sometimes they slip. Maybe Mother Anderson can explain more, since I'm unable to. Evening writing again. It's raining now and sort of cooling down. I'm sewing most of the afternoon. We're making socks for the soldiers. A friend will send them in his package when everything's ready. Dinner was roast beef sandwiches. Louisa and Martha were given two each. I only got bread with gravy. I shouldn't complain, but we can't eat that anyway. The rain's pattering softly on the roof. That's one of the nice things about being in the attic. I can see and hear thunder and lightning. It's the 19th, and Kiev is taken. I doubt there's a city in Ukraine left unharmed. Now that's been done, what's next? Finally, this week, I'm visiting Eva. Her sister Carmela is beautiful, curly-haired, and full of energy. This evening after school, we played games like tag and hopscotch. Her shrill voice can be heard all over the house. When it was bedtime, she wouldn't go. Eva coaxed her, promising two stories. She was still restless when she was in bed, tossing blankets everywhere. Their mum sat on their bed, and each girl said part of the Shema. I felt peace reciting with them. Eventually, we all slept. It's Friday now. Shabbat starts tonight. I can't wait. Same day. Like I anticipated, I spent today after school preparing. Making challah was wonderful. Eva's family's recipe is different from Mama's, but I'm sure it'll still taste great. Carmela tried kneading with us, but all she did was make handprints. While we worked, Eva asked questions. The people you're staying with celebrate Shabbat? No, they're English. And not great, like Daniel's family, I said. Do you know where your mama and papa are? I don't know about mine, she said. I shook my head sadly in response. Does Esther like her school? She asked. Eva's mum interrupted, telling her to pay attention. When it was dinner time, we gathered around the table. Her mum lit the candles, just like Mama did. Her dad said the blessing. Carmela started giggling. Her dad glared at her and said one word. She behaved after that. During dinner, a song was sung, each person singing a part. It was one I didn't know, but still beautiful. When it was Carmela's turn, Eva helped her. Today, Saturday, we took a walk in the woods. For fall, the air was warm and birds were singing. It was great. And I had no chores to do. "Catch me, Leah," Eva yelled and took off, hair held back by a hat her mom had put on her. I let her run, then raced after her. I didn't need to tell her twice. My feet slipped on dry leaves and cracked on sharp sticks as I ran on them. Panting, I stopped to catch my breath. I sank down on a log and looked around. No Eva. I called, but no answer. I walked around, trying not to make noise. She's probably hiding, I thought. I peered around tree trunks, but heard and saw nothing.
"Got you!"
Eva leaped down, landing beside me.
"Where did you come from?" I gasped.
Grinning, she pointed to a tree. I picked leaves out of her hair. Her parents and sister joined us.
"There you are. What were you doing?"
"Playing," she said innocently. I nodded in agreement.
"Where's your hat?"
her mom demanded.
"The wind took it,"
she said as she held up her crumpled hat. We spread a blanket under a tree for a picnic. Munching on cold stuffed grape leaves and challah, I felt sad. Mama, Papa, or you weren't there.
"Look, the birds are hungry."
Carmela threw some challah crumbs to some birds singing above our heads.
"No, darling. Birds eat worms, not people's food," her father scolded.
After lunch, we rested. Carmela sat on my lap, and we watched two squirrels chase each other up a tree. Eva gazed at the stream, maybe hoping for a fish to leap out. And their parents just held hands. The silence was broken when Eva's mom began singing a Shabbat song. It was beautiful at dinner, but in nature, it gave me chills to hear. She sang it through, accompanied by bird song. When she finished, there was silence. While walking back to their house, I thought about how I wished my visit could have lasted longer. Eva lagged behind us. Carmela was asleep in her dad's arms. The sun was setting, filling the sky with splashes of orange, gold, and red. But everything felt perfect. Sunday now, and I must go home. Long sigh. Eva's mom walked me home. We took the long way. Mom answered the door when we arrived.
"Hurry up and change. We're studying now," she ordered me.
"Hello to you too," I thought irritably.
"She's welcome anytime," Eva's mom said and smiled,
trying not to look too cheerful. I thanked her. Mom forced a smile. When she had gone, Mom slammed the door. I was given Bible memorization to do all afternoon. By the evening, my head hurt,
and I wasn't given any dinner, only milk. Watching us clean up afterward, Mum snapped at Jane. That's something she almost never does. All she did was rattle dishes. I was very relieved when we finally went to bed. Earlier, Sarah said that Mum had been angry most of yesterday. Not sure why, though, although it was between her and Dad. Let's hope her mood improves tomorrow. Our song continues with, "They embittered my life with hardship." Love you always, Leah. October 2. Dear Leah, your letter was exciting to read. I wish we had land girls. Some girls still complain about gardening or inside chores. I do sometimes. Do you have a beau yet? We don't talk to boys ever. I'm not sure if I told you, but blind boys are in a separate school. And yes, I did find the supplies Mama packed, but nothing's happened yet. Thanks for warning me about them. Mother said she'll be glad to help, and for me to tell you not to worry. Lydia calls it her monthlies. One night she whispered, "When you bleed, it goes on for days." "What are you talking about?" Catherine whispered back. Her bed is next to Lydia's. Lydia hissed angrily. "You'll see when you're 12. Now be quiet and go to sleep." "I'm just glad you or Eva weren't hurt when Andrew scared you both." "Did Helen ever say it was really Andrew? Your mom wasn't even concerned for you or Eva. How terrible." Everyone here wants to return home. Unfortunately, we still must wait for the war to end. If your mom would just let us talk, we wouldn't have to wait so long for letters. It isn't fair that everyone else receives letters every week. We're reading Little Women now. It's about four sisters living with their mother while their father's away fighting. Amy likes the character Amy, though she's nothing like her. Mary likes Joe, which makes some sense since she climbs trees too. I heard things about the Soviet Union on the radio this week. First, on the 24th, the city of Kharkov was invaded by the Germans, and now they've taken over. One evening, Mary told me about going to the cinema. She saw Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs a couple of years ago. I told them the story Mama and Papa told us. "The ending is different," Amy cried. "Yes, it's gentler," Mother said, sitting by the fire knitting. "Can we go again?" Kathleen begged. Mother said she'd think about it. The last film we saw was The Seven Ravens, remember? Those stories are in Braille, and I love reading them. They're in English, of course. I think they're the same ones as the ones Mama reads to us. When I discovered them, I laughed out loud. I told Mother, and she said, "There are several books here, but we don't have much space. So those stories are my favorite. There's only one copy. I have to share it, unfortunately. Your weekend with Eva sounded wonderful. I actually felt like I was there. The 30th, and German armies have entered the city of Sevastopol. We assisted in the kitchen today, washing vegetables, when John entered. "Hello, Mrs. Porter. It's ready," he said, handing her something that smelled funny. We could hear it banging when he passed. "Thank you. Put it in the storeroom, please," she said. We heard a door open, then something being set down. "Would you like some tea?" We eagerly said yes, but Mrs. Porter interrupted. "No, girls, I was asking John." "He said he would love one." She quickly put the kettle on. "What was that?" Hannah demanded. "Tell me."
"You'll see, young lady. I must speak to you," John said urgently to Mrs. Porter.
She excused herself, saying, "When I return, I'd like the potatoes washed and peeled, carrots scrubbed and cut." As soon as she closed the door, we talked. "What was in that bag?" Mary wanted to know. "Flowers or vegetables?"
"Don't be daft," Lydia snapped. "It's too cold for flowers, and we're doing the vegetables now."
"Stuff from the cellar, maybe?" Catherine's hand brushed against mine at the sink. I pretended to steal her potato. Giggling, we passed them on to Amy and Kathleen at the cutting boards. Hannah, Lydia, and Catherine were washing and cutting carrots. Miss Lee knitted and supervised.
"Where's William?"
I hadn't seen him all day.
"In the garden. He'll be in soon."
"Oh, that's Mrs. Porter's tea," Amy cried. We stopped talking and listened. The kettle whistle was shrill, kind of like trains.
"Where are they?"
"The room in the back," Miss Lee said, and instructed Amy to get a tray down from a cupboard. Then Kathleen arranged the teapot and four cups on it.
"No, Catherine, the carrots should be cut smaller, and please cut off the ends."
Miss Lee carried the tray in.
"I wanted to carry it," Hannah pouted.
Kathleen said it was probably too heavy.
"Why are you Mrs. Blake's favorite?" Hannah asked suddenly.
"I'm not," I said. "I've always been a good piano player. Papa always wanted us to learn. I'm learning loads here. Maybe if I see my family again, I can show them."
"Well, we never get to spend the summer with the teachers," Kathleen peeled quickly, her voice lowered. "It's just not right."
"If I had family, I wouldn't need to spend summers with anyone," I said defensively. Suddenly, we heard loud laughter coming from the storeroom. I dropped my potato. Crouching, I picked it up, washed it again, and handed it to Amy.
"What's so funny?"
Mary used her
I'm curious face. She walked around, searching for the door. Of course she found it.
No, Mary, Amy called. Don't! Do you want to get in trouble?
But Mary ignored her. I heard the knob turn. Then the door opened.
What were you doing? Mrs. Porter demanded.
Miss Lee and John were angry, too.
Are the vegetables finished?
Yes, Lydia answered for us. What are they for?
Your dinner.
Mrs. Porter walked over, inspecting our work. She had me cut some minced carrots, and Hannah peeled more potatoes.
That's better.
William entered with something banging in his hands.
William, your tea is ready.
Thank you,
he said while washing his hands.
Hurry up. I need to wash too, you know.
Hannah hissed under her breath. When he finished, he turned and accidentally bumped her shoulder.
Sorry, Miss Hannah,
he said. We all stifled the giggles. Mrs. Porter sent us back to Mother, all except Mary. As we left, we heard Mary say she just wanted to know what was funny in the storeroom.
Mary's getting punished, Hannah sang to Mother. She was listening in the kitchen.
Catherine explained what had happened.
I see. I'll speak to her, Mother said.
We were folding clean clothes when she returned.
There you are. Thank you, William.
I was told to bring her back.
We couldn't hear what else was said because Mother stepped out. We were quiet again. I think we were all waiting for Mother's punishment, but she didn't give one. It's Monday evening. We're all in our dormitory except Mary.
She's doing her punishment, Mother said. She'll be back.
It's later. When we entered the washroom this evening, Mary was already there.
Where were you?
Catherine passed Lydia the soap.
With us, Anna laughed, learning her lesson. I couldn't hear Mother Matthew's keys.
Shouldn't you girls be finished? Mother asked. Your dormitory's left. Now hurry.
Mother Anderson, I tried to have her stay with me, but I couldn't always.
Thank you, Julia. It's over. Mary, you may return with us.
Mary hugged her. Here it is, when enslaved under the rule of Egypt. Your sister, Esther. November the 7th. Dear Esther,
this is turning into a busy month. Germans are still trying to attack Sevastopol, Russia. Other cities are captured too, like Kerch.
Snow is falling late this year, Dad says. When it arrives, that's when the digging begins. My least favorite part about winter is the endless hiking through snow to the barn. My hands and feet become numb in seconds. The 26th, and the Soviets are still protecting Sevastopol.
They're trying to prevent the Germans from getting further in, even though the Russians have lost ships and aircraft. Nice kitchen conversation. Maybe it was a rabbit in that bag. Just don't tell your friends, in case I'm mistaken. Your Christmas present may reach you before then. I hope you like it. I can't wait for our song. Your waiting sister, Leah. December 6. Dear Leah, well, Christmas will be here soon. I can't wait. We've been decorating rooms with paper chains. Catherine and Mary no longer believe in Father Christmas. Someone told them it was their parents who give presents. I think it was nasty, Anna. It's December the 7th, night. Today, something terrible happened. America has been attacked by Japan. It seemed to be Navy ships that were destroyed. So many lives were lost. This morning, in our dormitory, there was silence. Now they know what we had to go through, Lydia burst out. What do you mean? Mother Anderson demanded. England's been bombed for months. They've been bombed only once. Now America must fight in the war with us. That was Hannah. They've helped by sending tanks and seeds to us and patrolling the Atlantic. Mrs. Davis and Miss Price explained that to you. Mother Anderson's voice was stern. President Roosevelt has been doing everything to help without declaring war. And my brother is now fighting overseas. She spoke softly, but we all heard. Everyone's involved in this ugly war, I thought. We somehow made it through the day, trying not to discuss the attack. It's evening now. I see a little light from the window. Mother just closed the curtains. Before bed, we were all sitting quietly. Then Mary asked, "Can we read about the sisters?" Mother asked our opinions. I wasn't sure, but Amy, Lydia, and Hannah wanted to hear more. Kathleen mumbled, "I don't care." And Catherine said nothing. "Very well, I'll start," Mother said. By the time she had read a couple of pages, we were all listening again. So she finished the chapter. "Will there be bombs in this book?" I asked. Mother replied, "No." Now it's Monday evening, and we listen to the radio tonight. In a new speech, President Roosevelt declared war on Japan. Now an American submarine has sunk a Japanese ship. Christmas is approaching. Even though most of us are unhappy about what America went through, we're still celebrating. Decorations this year are made with paper and paste. Miss Lee used the last bit of flour to make it. It's not good news anywhere.
in Sevastopol, the Germans are still there. They tried to damage ships, but they didn't accomplish much damage. Armies from Kerch are trying to help. It's Christmas evening. Some of us played outside. Yes, in the cold. The snow was fresh, which was much easier to walk in and shape into snowballs. We didn't always hit each other, but we still enjoyed ourselves. The older girls were outside too, so there was a snowball war between us. Someone hit me in the back of the head. When I threw a snowball behind me, I must have missed whoever I was trying to hit. Lydia hit Susan, I think. Then Julia joined our side. She's the only one with bells on her shoes. She has some sight in one eye, so could help us aim. Hannah and Anna ended up fighting each other. Mary and Amy made snow angels. They took their hats off so they could feel the snow in their hair. When we came back in, Mother scolded us. Girls, your hair's wet. Go to the washroom at once. We all had to change before we could open presents. Everyone had received something. Thanks for the bookmark. Now that I can read, I need something to keep my place. Catherine squealed when she opened a new dress. Mom made this. There's buttons in different sizes up the front. All of us eagerly touched it. The buttons were beautiful. It doesn't matter if they're used. I like them anyway. Where'd your mom find those? Mother asked. Catherine didn't know, but would write and ask. As always, Hannah's presents were very expensive. Fur coats, dresses, shoes, and thick stockings. My parents buy me anything I want, she said proudly. I don't need a used dress. She touched my arm and said loudly, You shouldn't get presents. Mum says Jews don't celebrate Christmas. Furiously, I reached out, pulling at her hair. Mother separated us right away. We were kept apart for the rest of the day and are forbidden to use the piano or sewing rooms for the whole break. Even after I explained to Mother why I pulled her hair, I'm still being punished. Dinner was potatoes, vegetables, and meat in gravy. I'm pretty certain they were the vegetables we had chopped. We just begun eating when someone whispered loudly, Mrs. Porter, how did you cook this rabbit? Catherine started crying. Oh no, we're eating Fluffy and Long Ears, she screamed. Mother took her out until she calmed down. Some of the others laughed. She's such a baby, Anna snickered. Didn't she notice their rabbits had disappeared? The king broadcast his Christmas speech again. It's been another hard year, but we must do our part and keep faith in G-D. It's probably much harder for America now that they've entered the war. Mother Matthews complained, "Those Americans should have been fighting with us ages ago. Roosevelt didn't want to get involved." After we listened, I asked Mother Anderson, "Can I show my bookmark to Miss Lee?" "Yes, then come straight back." Really, I ran into William on the way back. He and I talked about our families. It was wonderful sharing stories. When he was young, he'd leave his shoe out for St. Nicholas on his feast day. He would find it filled with nuts and chocolate. We had to stop when we heard voices outside the door. It was two older girls. They remained outside for a long time, just talking. We whispered, but the fun was gone. When they finally moved on, William looked up and down the hall, making sure nobody was around. When I returned, Mother was assigning us our chores for tomorrow. "There you are. Come and sit down," she said. If only William and I could plan our meetings. It's not fair we have to meet secretly, even though I understand why. And here's more. But G-D, with his mighty power, brought out his treasured people. Love you always. Esther. P.S. Sorry the decorating is mentioned twice. And yes, Miss Lee loved the bookmark, A Group of White Flowers, 1942. Sunday, January 5. Dear Esther, our Christmas was similar to yours. We had chicken instead of rabbit, and listened to the king like you did. Mum cried as she killed, plucked, and scooped out the insides of Henrietta. But what do you do when you go to the butcher for ham and come back empty-handed? The queue was long, and when Mum's turn came, there wasn't much of anything available. We were expected to prepare for a killing day for a few days before Christmas. Dad needed us out in the yard to keep the other chickens from flying around. Naturally, our clothes and hair were covered in feathers and straw. Not to mention us trying not to slip on the frozen droppings. When Henrietta was finally slaughtered, we scurried into the house to change. As you know, blood makes my stomach churn. Now you can tell your friends that we slaughter and eat our animals too. Since Jane's a teenager who doesn't care for dolls, Mum gave her hair ribbons and permission to use the sewing machine by herself. Sarah and I each received our usual oranges and writing paper. More letters for you. Your present and letter arrived after Christmas. I just blame the rotten weather. I appreciate the stockings. Jane wanted to read your letter, but Dad said it was private. Good thing, too. I don't believe Mum would be pleased with our secret conversations. She can't read our letters anyway. Louisa and Martha got presents from home and gloves from Mom and Dad. Their packages from home were more enjoyable. They included new handbags, hats, and perfume.
Sarah and Jane tried some and loved its scent. Their new hats matched their coats.
"Those are summer hats," Sarah exclaimed, "with flowers on them."
Both laughed and said they'd wear them in summer then. Sarah thought it was funny. Summer hats at Christmas.
"Ridiculous," Mum grumbled to Dad later. "Where are they going to use those handbags and that perfume? Not in my house or barn."
I had to listen to Churchill's speech about Pearl Harbor. He said if the U.S. became involved, Britain would too. He spoke to Roosevelt when Japan declared war on the U.S. and Britain. Then Churchill's cabinet declared war on Japan. Hannah's a very spoiled girl. Just be careful from now on. If she upsets you again, walk away. You are right. We're simply trying to fit in. I still have to read the Christmas story and say mealtime prayers in English. When we can be together again, we'll attend synagogue. I'm jealous of Laron. His family attends. Back to Pearl Harbor. It was horrible, but now the U.S. has joined this war. We'll have another ally. Some of my classmates were bitter, too. Miss Simmons explained that Japan and America have been having meetings for some time now. They couldn't reach an agreement about trading for things Japanese Army needed. Daniel's now learning with everyone else and no longer needs English lessons. Miss is proud of all of us for learning English and making friends. Eva is content, too. Andrew hasn't tormented her, thank G-D. Miss still watches at recess when she can. One afternoon, after reading our Princess Elizabeth letters, she announced, "We don't begin a letter with Hello, Elizabeth." Some kids laughed. I glanced around, wondering who had written that one. Our letters were returned marked with corrections. Mine were grammatical suggestions. I haven't seen Italia lately. Of course, it's winter. That's how it is. I wish Mrs. Evans would accept food. The best news is the Americans have arrived. Louisa and Martha have already picked their favorites. And no, I don't have a bow yet. It seems they have a use for perfume after all. Jane sneaks into their room, and they style their hair together. She even tried Louise's lipstick. January's over, and the Soviet armies are now fighting in Ukraine. Did you know that during winter months, on a farm can be dull? Nowhere to go. You're stuck in the house for weeks. Sarah and I talk in her room, but I can't share anything with her. She wouldn't tell Mom. She wouldn't understand. Her dolls we used to play with are in their corner gathering dust. We play jacks instead. She offered to take me to Helen's to use their phone to call you, but I couldn't accept. We'll be discovered, maybe another time. Have you read the English New Testament yet? I've finished it.
Some of the others told me they still pray quietly in Hebrew when they're alone. If I tried that, who knows what Mom would do. Louisa and Martha complain about their cold room. Mom just says, the cold is good for you. Here's another blanket. February is bone-chilling cold. At least up here in the attic, extra blankets help a little. The only reason I have any is that Dad or Sarah smuggles them to me, usually at night or early in the morning. When I awake, they're outside my door. We've been having hot porridge for breakfast when it's available. English tea wakes us up, but without sugar, just milk. If not, eggs are plentiful, at least the ones we keep. I never thought I'd say this, but I'm tired of eggs. And there's sausage. Disgusting. Dinner has been tinned fish and bread with margarine. Like you, we also eat from the garden. Endless bowls of vegetable soup. At least it's hot. Still sewing for soldiers, too. Mum's friends gather at a different house every week if the weather cooperates. Like today, we were sewing here. Martha prefers machine work. She says it does the work for her. Lazy, Jane hissed. We were making a quilt, and Martha made a full section. Jane, Sarah, and I each made squares to stitch together later. Hooray, March is here. Today I decided to ask Dad if I could phone you. What is it? Dad asked. He was sitting in the garden, watching the sunset. May I phone Esther? I held my breath. What did Mum say? He asked. I let out my breath impatiently. No, of course. I feel frustrated that he agrees with her again. It's expensive, and you know that, he said. I returned inside, closing the door. Tonight, I returned from the outhouse to hear Mom and Dad arguing. She wants to phone that sister of hers? No, she can't, Mom said. You let Jane use Helen's phone. Why can't Leah? Dad argued. I stepped on a creaky step, and their voices grew quiet. I slipped back into the house, closing the door silently behind me. The first free Saturday we had, the five of us walked to town and met up with Louisa and Martha's American beaux. We found ourselves behind a barn, and I began to feel uneasy. Why are we here? Martha asked. You found it. You tell us. Her beau, Josh, replied. He put his arm around her and pulled her close. Here, Sarah, have one. Louisa pulled cigarettes from her pocket, and Sarah and I refused ours. Smoke filled our noses, making us cough. Where had she gotten those? Do Jews smoke? Tim, Martha's beau, asked.
He was right beside me. I was definitely nervous now. He reached out toward me.
"We must go. Mum needs cloth," Sarah said.
We edged away from the others, but Martha grabbed Sarah's hair.
"Stay," she coaxed. "Try one."
I pulled Sarah away, and we ran. Martha angrily threw her cigarette at the wooden barn. Outside the dry goods store, we paused to catch our breath. We purchased the cloth and returned home. Immediately, we told Mum.
"Thank you both,"
she said and smiled. Relieved we weren't seriously hurt. When Dad found out, he dismissed both girls. They work nearby. The barn we were standing by belonged to an old farmer, but wasn't damaged by the cigarette she threw. Fortunately, it was only one. Sarah, Jane, and I won't ever smoke now. This is a long letter, I know, but I had to tell you everything. I'm surprised you and William weren't caught. Why is he working at your school anyway? Can't wait to hear your news. Your anxious sister, Leah.
P.S. When Pharaoh's host and followers sank like a stone into the deep.